Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. And I've entitled this Abundant Life or Transcendent Living. John 10:10, the Gospel of John says this: the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, you know, we have a tendency to focus on the negative. We have a tendency to focus on what we don't have. We have a tendency to focus on darkness. We have a tendency to focus on the negative. And so when we hear that, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we think, oh my, oh my, oh my. Where our oh my should be is here, but I have come. But I, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. You know, if the enemy could just run roughshod over us, he would have. If he could just steal, kill, and destroy everything you own, everything that you have, he would have. That's his character and his nature. But he can't. I have a Father. We have a Father who takes care of us, protects us, has our lives in his hand. Someday I'm going to die. Someday I'm going to breathe my last. And I'm going to step into eternity. All at the Father's hand. Not at the devil's. So John 10:10 says this: I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Last week, we focused on probably the priority, the highest value of abundant life. And that is a relationship with the one who is life himself. I mean, that goes without saying, right? I'm the vine, you're the branches. If we're connected to life himself, we will have his life transforming us into the purpose and the significance of the creation that he intended. And we are constantly going from grace to grace and faith to faith, line upon line, precept upon precept. I am constantly, you are constantly receiving his life that is bringing us into the fullness of his desire. And he who started that good work in you is going to complete it. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so to understand that and to cooperate, that's why I'm drawing attention to this again. We want to cooperate with that. We want to cooperate with his life. And the way we do that is through relationship with him. And so all of us have strengths. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have ideas and opinions. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. But the ways of God, he has, Peter said, where else can we go? For you alone have the words of life. And so we looked at that last week, you know, his transcendence, that he is above. And so he gives us that life. And then we looked at just an example, George Washington Carver, if you were here. He asked God, talking about transcendence and talking about life, talking about the peanut. George Washington Carver asked, Lord, what can I do with this peanut? And from that, he brought life to our lives. Hundreds and hundreds of different applications that come from the peanut that have helped you in your life. And so God gives us through one another this incredible abundant life. And that's kind of where we're going to transition today. The second part, first part was what? That we have to have a relationship with life himself. And now today we have to understand that abundant life is dependent on community. It is dependent upon community. No matter how much you think it can just be you and Jesus, hallelujah, you need community to thrive. We're going to look at that today. I'm going to just draw from some just real life examples of how you have been blessed by community. From the time you woke up this morning, actually while you were asleep, but from the time you woke up till right now, you have been inundated with life because of community. So some people will say, I only need Jesus. That's all I need, just Jesus and me. I'm kind of like Elijah. I'm by the brook and the ravens are bringing me food. I don't need anybody else. God has designed us to need community. Think about the story of creation. He makes Adam out of the dust of the earth. He creates all the things that we see, the trees, the animals, the water, separates the heavens from the earth, all that. And then God's declaration of the man as he is by himself, because woman has not been made yet, he says, it is not good for man to be alone. We're designed for community. Here is Adam with God, perfect relationship. I should say mature relationship. I don't even know if I can say that. In relationship with God. And God says, just me and Adam aren't good. Because we were designed for community. Where does that come from? Did God just arbitrarily say one day, oh, you know, alone, community. Alone, community. Alone, let's choose community. No. It comes from the very essence of the Trinitarian relationship itself. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When did they begin? When did they start? Never. They have no beginning. They have no end. It's hard for us to understand, but there's no beginning, no end. They are in relationship, perfect community together, perfect unity together. And so because the one who created life itself is a communal, interactive, relational being, that's why we are made in his image, made for community, made for relationship. And so it's not good that Adam was alone, even though he had all of creation. He was with God. He was with omnipotence. He was with omniscience. And it was God himself who said, it's not good for Adam to be with just me. And so abundant life is associated with community. And so we're going to look at some of the things of why that reality is. Because one of our defaults, one of our knee-jerk reactions when things happen to us, we all have buttons, right? Those buttons are different. But we have a tendency when those buttons are pushed to isolate ourselves, to want to pull back, to want to, well, I don't need to do that hard thing. I don't need to be with porcupine people anymore. I'm sick of getting quills put into my life, right? It would just be easier if we just isolated, just me and my spouse or me and my family, we just pulled away and we did our own thing. But we have to understand that God has created us for community. And if we want to walk in the abundant life, the transcendent life that he desires, it must be associated with a broader community. One of the first things that community does for us is that it brings us resources. Do you know when you pray and you have a need, God will supply you that resource. But normally, what does he do it and how does he do it? He does it through people. I'm thinking of Acts chapter 4. Do you remember Barnabas? His name was the son of encouragement. Listen to these words in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 35. Now the full number of those who were believed were of one heart and one soul. Even though they were different, even though they had different opinions, even though they had different experiences, they had one heart and one soul. And no one said, listen, any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. Are you on fire for the Lord? Are you walking with the Lord? Do you find your life? Are you doing everything that the Lord asks you? Well, then some of your stuff you got to let go of. Some of the resources he gave you are actually for other people. They're not just yours. You know, we have a tendency to think just because we bought something or we apprehended something or went to the store to get it or we whatever, that it's ours. And you can choose that, but in reality, everything is his. Everything is his. I've shared this with you multiple times. You know, one of the lessons we really had to teach Jesse, it wasn't so much Cody. You know, your kids are different. Cody had her other issues. It was a good thing she had perfect parents to help her. But one of Jesse's issues was he liked to hold on to things. He still does it. He hides Mountain Dew up in his room. He's just, that's his thing. If he gets a gift of something he likes, like Pekinettes, he loves Pekinettes. Like he puts them under other stuff. He's like a chipmunk. He just hides it. Anyway, to help him, we had to play, and you've heard it 100 times, but we had to play the what's mine game. And I said, Jesse, why do you get so angry with stuff? I said, you have to understand, we're a family, like we share. You just can't blow up and go run off to your room. And so I would frustrate him and I'd say, what do you mean your room? I said, let's play the what's mine game. Is that your room? He said, yeah, it's my room. I said, no, it's not your room. It's my room. Well, I'm going to go up there anyway. I said, how are you going to get up there? Are you going to walk across my carpet? And it would just make him so mad. But I wish he was here this morning because he'd tell you, he learned through that he has to recognize that, and we all have to recognize that what we have are the gifts of God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And the Bible says that God teaches us, he gives seed to the sower. In other words, we are a conduit. Does God care that we use our resources for ourselves? Absolutely not. But Jesus said, if you have 2 coats, you're supposed to give one. Did you give away some coats this weekend? Right? If you have 2 coats, you give them away. So it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So in community, in this community right now, there is enough. The question is do we have all things in common? Because we worked hard for our retirement accounts. We worked hard for our possessions, right? And we hang on to those, and what if? But this man Barnabas, look what he did. So they were all together, one heart, one soul, and many of them had things that belonged to them, but everyone had everything in common. And then it says, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them, for as many as there were owners of lands or houses, they sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. Are you praying for revival? Be careful what you pray for. They sold their lands and their houses and sold them and brought the proceeds to the apostles' feet and distributed to each that had need. So, resources come through community. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Everything that I have, God, is yours. But I have to recognize that I have to be transformed. I have to be transformed. And so part of that fallacy of life, the deceitfulness of riches, is that we don't need community. The more stuff that we get, we think that we're self-sufficient. Even sometimes if we give God thanks for it. But here's an example of how you need community, regardless of where you are today. Raise your hand if you ate breakfast today. Raise it high so we can see the breakfast eaters. I didn't. Okay, what did you have today, Mimi? Egg toast tea. All right, did you go out into the backyard and get that egg out right from underneath that hen? No. Where'd you get that egg? Well, don't tell us. But she got that egg. She got that egg from somewhere else. That's why she needs community. She doesn't have a chicken coop in her backyard. That toast that you made, did you make that bread yourself? No? Where'd you get it? Which store? Oh, this is my mother, by the way, if you didn't know that. I'm not picking on this lady. It's like, man, this guy's harsh. If you're going to sit in the back row, you're going to get picked on. So you got that bread at Aldi's. So you didn't bake it yourself. No. You didn't go out and thrash wheat and press olives for oil, mine your own salt. You didn't do any of that? Right. Do you know how that simple act that she made an egg and ate toast and had tea? Did you go to China and get the tea yourself? No. Think of everybody that was involved in that simple act. Think of all the community that was involved in that simple act of Mimi eating egg, toast, and tea. I assume you cooked your egg. You didn't just rocky it, right, and put it in a glass and drink it. You cooked it. So you have a stove in your house. Did you manufacture that? No. It's a gas stove, right? Yeah, gas. Gas is the best for cooking. You can ask Mimi. Right? But there's somebody at the gas company people are bringing that gas to her house. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? The immense contribution of community that just goes into one woman saying she had an egg, toast, and tea. Right? We all got here, I assume, by vehicle. Right? And so none of us know how to manufacture a car. But that car was made by people. Manufactured by people. The gasoline that goes into that car, you had to go to somebody who has a business that provides gasoline, and that person doesn't manufacture the gasoline. That gasoline came from oil from probably somewhere overseas or in another country that got refined, that was manufactured into gasoline. Do you understand? Did you take how much? Yeah, hopefully everybody took a bath sometime this week or a shower. Right? The people at the water company, community, did you use soap? You don't make your own soap. Some people make their own soap, but you don't make your... The immensity of community that it takes for us to just receive resources. It is not good that you are alone. I'll tread softly here. Maybe. Right? All of us use the facilities at some point. In the last 3 days, maybe not. Let's say the last week, right? How many are thankful for the sewage company? Thank God for the sewage company that takes what was ours and takes it away and makes it their own and then does what they do. Thank you, Lord, for community. We need community. And God has so blessed us. Just the fact that, I mean, we have indoor plumbing. It was a day when that wasn't common. Right? We live in a very rich country. We have a very abundant lifestyle. Because no, regardless of what their motivation was, some motivations is just money, but whatever the motivation was, you are the benefactor, you are the recipient of someone else's creativity that God gave them, someone else's imagination that God gave them to make our lives better. And so resources are a part of community. And so if you want all that God has for you, if you want all that God has, you must recognize that you have to be a part of community, for without it, it's impossible for you to attain that goal. You run to Walmart, you do exchange, you have money for provisions. You would freak out if something wasn't on the shelves. You remember when toilet paper turned into gold? Right? Yeah, that's all. You might not think of that as kingdom, but it's kingdom. It's God supplying us. What would we do without IT people? Computer, those who know how to work with computers. We want to hit a button and see something in a second. Something goes down. Thank God for cooks. Thank God for the farmer. And so community is so important because of the resources that God gives us through one another. The next one I want to say is the reason why community is so important is not just because of the resources themselves, but the incredible gift of learning to walk in unity. Community teaches us unity in diversity. Paul said it this way, we are a body, we're the body of Christ. We are the body of creation that God has made. And so that he says the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. The ear can't say to the eye, I have no need of you. So when Mimi ate her toast and her egg and drank her tea, she didn't go like this and stick it in her ear. Right? If I would say to you, oh, I just love the taste of pecan pie. That's one of my favorites, by the way. Let me just take this opportunity to share with you that pecan pie is one of my favorites. Especially if the pecans on top are like crushed and smaller than the big ones. But anyway, if I would taste it and I would say to you, oh, taste this pecan pie, and I would put it up to your ear. No, really, taste it. Go ahead. What would you have to do? You would have to take it to the God's creation given to you for that purpose. So what would the body do without the tasting? What would the body do without the hearing? God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we all have that capacity, but some of us are the eyes and some of us are the ears, and we can taste and hear a little better because that's the gift. That's the gift of community, the specific uniqueness given to some so that the community can be blessed. And you have that, your giftings, your specific abilities that are given, and we have to learn to honor one another in that diversity. Ears think ear stuff is so cool. It's the key to the kingdom. We all think that we have eyes to see only our thing, and we think that's the key to the kingdom. Those who've been gifted with musical ability, psalmists, that talent, the key to the kingdom is worship. No, the teachers say the key to the kingdom is discipleship and training our kids. The evangelist says, no, the key to the kingdom is sharing the gospel with the lost. The prophet says, no, the key to the kingdom is speaking God's word and bringing people to repentance. It's the ability to see the diversity and the beauty in that and to walk in unity regardless of our differences, because those differences can be extremely, extremely irritating if we allow them to be. You've seen that in our country over the last few years, where our country seems like it is split, divided, because you have people who would call themselves Republicans and you have people who call themselves Democrats, and they both say they love God and their convictions are based on that relationship. And you say, there's no way that could be diversity. whether it's male and female. We're a little different. Very different. Race, color, differences. There's differences in the ethos of life and community if you're in the North or in the South. Yeah, you go down South, things slow down a little bit. Up here, we're like, everything's fast. And so the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. But yet, they are one. And out of that mutual love and affection and self-giving, self-sacrificial nature, they serve one another and prefer one another higher than themselves. That is the ethos of creation. That is what and how creation functions at its highest abundant level. And so I have to learn that in community, I have to honor you. I have to consider your opinion. I love my opinions. That's why I have them. But I have to listen to your opinions as well. And so the eschatological goal of all creation is what? Eschatological meaning where we're headed is the reconciliation of all things. And so the reconciliation of all things, when it's finally accomplished, isn't going to make us all the same. It's not going to make us all identical. But individuals uniquely participating in perfect harmony, right, trio? Harmony. Everybody's not singing the same thing, but together it makes an incredible, beautiful sound. So that God is all and through all. One last thing about community. There are many others, but I just want to touch on this one because it kind of goes with what we were just saying. We have to learn to cooperate, cooperation. God invites us into participation of his work with reconciliation. We must cooperate to that end. Did you ever have an experience where someone wanted to help you with an activity or someone wanted to help you with something you were working on and you just thought to yourself, you know, this would be a lot easier if I just do it by myself? Right? And honestly, it would be. Especially if it's our kids when they're little, right? Daddy, can I help? Daddy, can I help? I remember this past, I think it was summer. Go summer. I was helping JJ. We were digging some of their stuff out from underneath their pool because they had issues with the pool and we're getting a new pool, and Micah was helping. And all he did was, I mean, he did everything he could do to help, but it was just chatter, 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 chatter. And JJ's going, buddy, yeah, that's great. Look, daddy, I have the dirt in my dump truck. That's great, buddy. That's great. And he could have said, just go inside. Let the real man work. Let us work. Right? But see, at the end, when it's all done, what does Micah do? He says to his mommy, probably, he's like, me and daddy, we fixed the pool. And even though his contribution was this big, in his mind, he gets to say, I helped. Right? So couldn't have God said, you know, this would be a lot easier without them? Couldn't God have said, you know what? I can do this. But he invites our participation. And at the end, we're going to somehow say, and I helped. And he doesn't mind sharing that. But so there has to be cooperation. There has to be cooperation with one another. And so God could have said, it would be easier for me to just do this by myself. But there's joy. His joy is to include us in that activity. Just like it was JJ's joy to include Micah in that activity. And just like we have to learn to allow others to be a part of our lives. Just like we do with our kids. And to do that, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts, because the scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called sons of God. And so are we cooperating with God to bring peace? Differences cause schisms, sometimes chasms. Catholic versus Protestant, male versus female. As we grow in love, we will grow in our ability to cooperate with those that are different with us. Let me say that again. As we grow in love, we will grow in our ability to cooperate with those different than us. It was a tough lesson for me to learn that my way isn't always right. It's a tough lesson for you to learn that you don't always have to give your opinion. And so we bring harmony, not war. We beat our weapons into plowshares. I take the wolf in me and I learn to lay down with the lamb. And so as a peacemaker, I'm helping Father bring order to the chaos. And Paul said, as much as it depends on me, I will be at peace with all men. So abundant life is dependent upon community. It's dependent upon it. Absolutely. You don't have to answer this. Do you want all that God has for you? If you do, it involves community. And I can't tell you, I can tell you, the greatest tool God used, I know personally, to refine what he has refined in me and transformed what he has transformed in me, and he has a lot more to do, he has done through relationship. So I want to open it up today. I want to hear your contribution, your thoughts, your disagreements, your experience that you want to contribute to the body today. Alicia.
I don't know how to say a lot of it, so bear with me. The giving up of possessions hit hard today. You know, Steve and I are going through a time in our life. We just welcomed our baby girl, and lots of things have changed. A lot of things have changed. One of those things being Steve quitting his job and being a stay-at-home dad. And we haven't come to that decision yet, but that's one of the big ones that we're thinking of, as well as community hit home really hard today, too. Because without community, we wouldn't be able to have the two beautiful children that we have and the beautiful family that we have. Stevie was sick this week. She had bronchitis. So I immediately had to call upon Marissa and Bobby Joe to come pick her up and take her to their house and watch her. So the thought process of community and the season that we're in is just... it's mind-blowing to me, and I'm sitting over there, like, trying not to cry, because everything you're saying is just, it's there. It's the season that I'm going through. I'm, you know, becoming more patient with Lucy and everybody at work, and just trying to grow in love, because without that love, I get frustrated, and I want to shoo Lucy back into the house and not let her help clean up the pool. And without that community, though, without those relationships to show me how to grow, I would never have grown. And I feel like I have grown immensely, not only in just these last 3 months, but over this last year in general. It's been tough. And without my mom and losing my dad and everything, I wouldn't be here this morning, because the depression and everything just gets so overwhelming. But I have that community. And you just have to learn to accept it and not be that yes man where you have to do yes all the time. Because that's where I was. That's who I am. I'm the yes man. I love to help other people. I love to do it. But I can't. I can't do it all. I can't be the mom of two. I can't go to work 60 hours a week. I can't do it all, you know? And I see that through the community that God has given me, because it's okay to say no. It's okay to, you know, not be here for Bible study because, you know, it's all right because I can do it at home, or you guys still love me even if I don't make it to those things. Even if I can't be here every Sunday because I'm just so tired. Because I say yes too much. But you guys still love me. You are my community, even if I can't say yes.
So thank you.
Sorry, I just keep rambling, but
yeah, when I think of probably the most challenging season of our lives had to be when your kids are that age, in terms of so many different facets. And it's, community is so powerful at that moment when you want to yank your hair out. All right, somebody else. Thank you, Alicia. Renee, Mama Wanda's girl.
Everybody knows about the my involvement with Neighbor to Neighbor and my church family helping out with that, for whatever capacity that is. But just to talk about community, we've now taken Neighbor to Neighbor down to Green County, and it was amazing to see the community come together. And I say that because even Waynesburg University is now a part of Neighbor to Neighbor. They helped us financially. They actually supplied all the coats that we gave away. And so they've supplied enough money for us to give away coats in three communities. And yesterday there were two communities that God blessed. And with those coats, and with 14 volunteers that came out, there were 4 college students that came out. So with a community, with a university being a part of the community and now being very involved with that community, we gave over 186 coats away in two communities. And that is just a testimony of community. Because if it wasn't for those that have a heart to serve, that want to give their time, their finances, whatever that looks like, prayer, that's definitely a sacrifice too, because God knows your heart. He knows what you can give, what you can't give, but, he loves you. And it's just amazing of how God will take every given situation and turn it into something amazing. And that's what I love about community. It's like, you never know until you step out in faith to say, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what I have going on in my world. God, how is this going to work? And if you just step out in faith and believe that he's got everything under control, he makes it happen. So just to encourage everybody to say that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you got going on, there is a community out there, especially with church, with family, that we're here for one another. And you may not know how it's going to work out, but man, it's amazing when it does, because that's the fun part of who God is, that we can sit back and see the testimony and see the things that are going on that's important for God. To say that, I love my kids, just sit back and watch, but be obedient, and I'm going to make great things happen. So I just wanted to say, just having the faith of knowing that God's in control and he's got it, and he's got us covered, man. And then the community starts coming together. Wow. Amazing. So.
Yep. Thank you. You know, as you were talking, there's so many things that are going through my head. One of them is position I hold in the spheres of influence that I have. People are coming to me often and asking, maybe not a part of this community, but even just if someone shows up here, on our doorstep, and they ask for help. 99% of the time, it's a woman. And guess where the guy is? In the car. And the reason is because it is much more difficult for a man to ask for help. It is much more difficult for a man to ask for directions. For whatever reason, the way we're made, it is very difficult for us to ask for help. And I know that what that man is going through in that car, so I don't, you know, say, well, go get your husband and bring, I don't want to add to his shame or whatever. But what I'm saying is that we have to learn to be able to recognize it's okay to be in need of someone else's gift. That's how it's made. That's how, again, the ear has to recognize that it needs the mouth. The eyes need the ears, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the other side of that coin, you know, I think of this when Paul writes a letter and he says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And that's true too. That's why community is so important also, because if you're consistently giving to community, community is consistently going to give to you. But if you're constantly, all you do is take and all you do is receive and all you do and you've never, God has to teach us to be givers. And so a lot of times, you know, there's this constant ebb and flow that's taking place. And so we have to learn to be contributors, and then God gives seed to the sower. Somebody else. You want me to come to you, Penelope? Oh, all the men are staying in the car today. Penelope. Hi, honey. Come up here so people can see you.
Okay. So I too was sitting there thinking about community, and with our situation, with our house and the fire and everything, without community, none of this would have been restored. Just to share, like, as soon as, you know, the word was out, like, the community here in our church was, like, right away, like, what can we do to help? How can we help? And the community, you guys gathered in prayer, and it reached heaven to earth. It was like a ladder that was going up and down. It was heaven to earth constantly. And I just have to say thank you to this community for that. Another thing is people coming to help us to... You don't know, like, when something like this happens, what's all involved. Could Joe and I have done it by ourselves? Absolutely not. The volume was just so much. And the journey that the Lord has taken us on to get there, to get through it, He walked us through the fires. He pulled us from the flames. And without the community, we would have never been able to do it. He has put people in our path that have vision and wisdom, and He's put people in our path that have a willingness to serve. And it's been a beautiful thing to watch. But also, like the egg and the toast and the tea, there's something that I have been learning is that the trades are so important in our world, because we have the plumbers, we have the, the construction, we have the woodworkers, we have the metal workers, we have so many trades that we have to depend upon, because I'm like, they're asking me questions and I'm clueless. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I do not know what these words are. And so, you know, we're in this lumber yard, and talk about community, and just, I'm talking lumber yard. I think a lumber yard is like a lumber yard where you go outside and there's lumber. No. It's more deeper than that. The lumber yard is, it's actually Brookside. Well, you walk in and there's doors and there's frames and there's woodwork and there's metalworks and there's all kind of stuff. But this guy works with metal, but he doesn't work with everything. So just like the body of Christ, every worker, if you're a metal worker, you have different trades in the metal field. So it's like the ears, the eyes, the mouth. It all has a body. You know, not just the body of Christ, but the world we're living in is the body of Christ, and it all has its own community around everything. So it's so intricate, and it's so beautiful to watch community work. And I just learned that today. I mean, this past week, about how so many things go into certain things and how many people it takes to do just one job. So we are never alone. We're never by ourselves. And God does give us the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Nell. Beautiful. Anyone else? Randall?
Good morning, church. I will say over the years, I've learned a lot about community, and especially in a church body and community that even as a person like myself, I find myself to try to always be as independent as I possibly can. I raised my hand earlier about the help because Rob knows that I prefer to do all projects by myself. I don't like help. I'm not good at it. But I've also learned that God will humble you and has always humbled me to moments where you find yourself in life to say, without you, I wouldn't have made it. Without community, without a body, without Christ, there's things in my life and past that I've crossed that without you, I wouldn't have made it. I definitely would have failed. It helps strengthen us and grow us. And it's give and take. So the reason I'm up here is because I'm kind of going to talk to you, Alicia, just for a second, because I feel your pain. You know, sometimes you feel like you say yes too much. You're always helping. But I'm going to tell you that that doesn't exist. You've never said yes too much. Because if you didn't have that internal battle, if you didn't have that sense of this is too much, it's too hard, I don't have the time, then if you're like me, you'll never feel like you're giving. That is where we get our sense of gratitude and giving. Sometimes it becomes a battle to where you have to choose. Maybe you don't have the time to do everything, but never stop saying yes. As we are called to serve and we serve others, it's not made to be easy. Sometimes we got to step out of our comfort box. We got to take the extra mile. We got to walk a little harder. We got to carry somebody else's weight. But at the end of the day, I guarantee you don't go to bed thinking, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. You always go to bed thinking, man, that was hard, but I'm sure glad I did it. Because that's what the community, that's what the body does for each other. We go above and beyond. We don't do it because it was easy. It's exhausting. We pray for your exhaustion. We pray for your tiredness. And just know that as you give and give and give, everybody here is here for you as well to give back to you. Because that's what a team does. We give back to one another. Without this body, without all of these faces in this church, I wouldn't have learned that through life. I wouldn't know. So the welcomeness of this family to help nurture and grow a child to an adult is what it takes. And I thank each person involved in that community for helping me grow in that way.
Thank you, Ray. Anyone else? You coming or you want me to come to you, Sheila? I'm halfway. I'll meet you halfway. I'll go 60-40. I'm Jewish. 60-40.
Thank you. Last week, our message was trust the Lord more. We're in the palm of his hand. So my praise report is from this week. it's hard for me to let go. I like to fix things, fix people, do whatever needs done for them. But I'm learning that I need to step back and let God do the fixing. And my goodness, there's great things happening this week. I couldn't believe it. But I praise the Lord through it all, and He's teaching me that I don't have to fix things. He's right there waiting, and sometimes I'm in His way. So I need to get out of the way. And it's hard. But see, I think that's all. That's all.
Thank you, Sheila. You know, one of the things you really learn through community, too, is your specific gifting, your specific talents. Like, stay in your lane, bro. Right? We all have a lane. And I'm learning my lane more and more through community. This one time, Ray helped me out with a vehicle issue that I had. He was changing my brakes. And if all I had to do was listen to him, just listen to what he's saying. And because I didn't listen to what he was saying, I almost killed him. Like literally. So he says, get in the car, pump your brakes before you go. And pump them about 5 times. And then go ahead. I got it. My car was in my garage, and I thought, because of the way I'm raised and all I hear is Papa in my head, it's like, Rob, you don't run a car in the garage. Carbon monoxide, exhaust, that's all I heard. So I got in the car, and I thought, I'm just going to back up a foot so my exhaust is outside the garage. So as the car started to move a half a foot, I just touched the brakes. They went to the floor. I put both feet on the floor, and my car proceeded to make its way out the driveway, well, outside the garage. He was in the back of his truck, thankfully, or I would have crushed him. Just learn to listen, Rob. Just learn to listen to other people who know what they're doing. And they have an expertise that you don't. And so I'm learning my lane. Anyone else? Jim.
Yeah, in my life I've been through a lot, okay? Went through cancer. Lost my son. Okay, had dog kind of surgeries. Okay, and I wouldn't have made it through with the help of other people. All of these were experiences that made me stronger. Okay, we go through life testings, okay, and we understand and we learn how to live with unity and help each other's get through our difficulties. So it's just like, the Lord showed me that, nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to Him. And He blesses us, you know, with everything. And, I've learned a lot in my life, okay, and put my faith and trust in the Lord, okay? Because He's the one who will provide. He will teach us and make us grow and have and for His own glory and honor. And it's been quite a ride. And I just thank everybody who has helped me come through whatever I've gone through. And it's all been a learning and a testing.
Thank you, Jim. All right, anyone else? Tim.
This is one of those, whole time he said come up, I knew I had to come up, I didn't want to. Gonna try to maintain my composure up here. But first off, I just want to say thank you to everybody in this church the past couple weeks. My family, we've been going through something that we've never imagined going through. And without the support and love of this church, just all the gifts, all the crack chicken that was so good this past week, you don't know how much that means to me and my family. The last place I want to be right now, honestly, is here in church. But I love everybody here so much. We've been missing a lot of church just due to Delaney being with cheerleading. But the community has brought me here today. Even though I'm having my inner struggles and everything, all of you in here, it's just the love that you have for my family and the love that I have for you guys. Just thank you so much. And Pastor, I just want to share the dream that I had last year, if you remember. I had a dream that Pastor and myself were trying to build a barn. And if you ever remember those clips where you see like the Amish raising up the barn, well, I had my beam and I was pushing my beam up and my beam was just going all over the place and I couldn't do it. And I'm yelling at Pastor saying, Pastor, I can't do this. And he has his beam standing straight up and he's like, if you see, he's like, I placed my beam in this foundation right here. As soon as I put the beam in the foundation, that stopped me. And he's like, and you see all the support beams up on top? You need to put your beam against the support beams. And it's not as hard as I was trying to make it. And with that, I'm relying on everybody right now. My family is relying on everybody right now here. And if it wasn't for you guys, I don't know where we would be during this time. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. Wow. You said so much. I think the part that ministered to me the most is your honesty and transparency when you said this is the last place I want to be. Because we've all been there. But thank you for your strength to be here and thank you for those words. So true. I think we'll end on that. Thank you. Let's bow our hearts together. Father, thank you for the gift that you have given to us of yourself and to one another and all those who contribute to our lives in some way. We are truly thankful. We're grateful, immensely grateful for all the wonderful gifts we receive from you through people. And so, Father, may we continue to just glorify you and put a smile on your face by being that one who stops on the Jericho Road, being the one that gives of our time, our talents, and our treasures for the benefit of others. And when we do it to the least of these, we do it to you. Be glorified, Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and the week in the Lord.